Okay, let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Let's commit this time. Thank you, Father. Time is so precious. And every moment, Lord, we could be learning, we could be growing, we can be enjoying life. And I pray that you would take this word and make it all that. Learning, growing, and enjoying what you have to say through your word. Let us hear the word with faith that truth set us free this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We're starting a brand new theme this morning, and it's called Forward. Forward. And the purpose of this series is to get us moving forward, because sometimes, let's admit it, we can get stuck, especially when we get into time, summertime. Our faith sometime and our passion seems to wane a little bit. So the whole purpose of this series is to get us moving forward. But first, we have challengers. How many know there are challenges we face every single day that want to keep us, you know, from moving ahead? And so this series, the purpose of it is to help us overcome the challenges of everyday life so that you and I, we progress, we move forward into God's plan, God's vision for our lives. So we're going to talk about things like spiritual growth. We're going to talk about things like perseverance and having faith and God's future for us. God calls us to be people who are filled with His Spirit, who are moving forward with courage and with faith and not fear. Do you believe that? Okay, so my message this morning is entitled Forward by Faith. Forward by Faith. As we as believers, it's all about faith, isn't it? We are to be a people of faith. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, and without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. These are the words from a well-known pastor. Kevin Gerald said these words. Faith doesn't grow automatically. It doesn't grow accidentally. Faith grows only intentionally. Faith grows intentionally. So the question today that maybe God will ask you and me today is, are you growing in your faith? Are you moving ahead in your faith? Are you feeding your faith? In order for anything to grow, you got to feed it. Do you agree with that? If you want your kids to grow, what do you got to do? You got to feed your kids a lot for a long time, right? If you want your pets to grow, you got to feed them. If you want your plants to grow, you got to feed them. Whatever you feed, whatever you need to keep alive, you must feed. And the same is true with our inner being, with our inner person, our inner man, our soul. On your screen, whatever you feed grows. You need to feed your faith. Fear grows when you feed it. Doubt grows when you feed it. Anxiety grows when you feed it. And faith grows when you feed it. You know, maybe I'm talking to some of you guys right now and you're thinking, you know, my faith hasn't grown for a while. Maybe you're in a place right now where you feel your faith is stuck. It's stagnant. It's in the same place it was last week or even last year. It hasn't grown. I listened to a great message by Pastor Kevin Gerald. And Pastor Kevin Gerald, you see the next picture, is the pastor of Tacoma, a Champion Church in Tacoma. And he's one of the most well-respected leaders today. And we know him personally. He holds conferences. He has this ministry called Team Church that he holds throughout places in North America, Red Deer. We attend it constantly. And his goal is to get churches going and growing and advancing the kingdom of God. And so I was listening to one of his messages where he shared a few years ago when he was so low, he was so discouraged, so disappointed in what was happening in his church. And so that day, he says, he took a page of paper, a blank page, and then he wrote out the words faith, or the letters He wrote the word, wrote out faith, F-A-I-T-H, but he didn't do it horizontally. He did it vertically, big letters, F-A-I-T-H. And he says, and as soon as he did that, God started to speak to him. And God gave him this acronym of faith, five things that God instructed him to do in the moment when he was low and struggling in his faith. And this is a faith acronym. And Pastor Kevin has taught this acronym repeatedly in his church. Every year they go through this acronym. He's taught it in conferences around the world. It's appeared in many and several of his books. And other leaders have also, pastors have heard this acronym, and they've taught that acronym to their churches to equip them and to bless their people. In fact, most of his people, and he's got a large church in Tacoma, Washington, most of those people have memorized this faith acronym. And this is a powerful tool that we can put into practice every day. So today, to me, it's a no-brainer. And I heard that acronym, I started memorizing. I got it in my head. This is a no-brainer. I've got to teach you this acronym. So are you ready for it? I want to give you this powerful tool that you can put into practice. And as you practice it, Pastor Kevin says, watch, your faith will begin to grow. First of all, just before we get into that acronym, faith is compared to be like a muscle. Faith is like a muscle. And if you don't exercise it, if you don't work it, if you don't feed it, what happens to it? It weakens. But if you fuel it, if you exercise it, your faith can grow dramatically. So here's this tool. Five points to remember. Five things to put into practice to move your faith forward. Are you ready? This is not going to be a long message. Okay. First one, F. F equals focus on the positive. Say it with me. Focus on the positive. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever is true, put it in. Let that be your focus. Focus on it. Whatever is noble, focus on it. Whatever is right, focus on it. Whatever is true, focus on it. Whatever is lovely, focus on it. Whatever is admirable, focus on it. Whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, focus on it. Focus on the positive. Now, I know some people, maybe you're thinking to yourself, that's not possible for me. I can't change the way I think. I'm too old to change. I'm a product of my upbringing and my experiences. And I tend to always be the half empty glass. I always tend to be the guy that sees the problems in the plan. I always tend to see the problems in my life. But listen, faith doesn't grow if you dwell on the problems, does it? In fact, you know what research says? That no matter what your age, your brain is capable of changing. In fact, modern science, this is an amazing discovery. The last 15 and 20 years, they used to think, if you got to middle age, if you got into 50s or 60s, it's impossible for your brain to change. It's already formed. You can't do anything about it. But you know what? Modern science has not proved that that's not true. That no matter what your age, you can train. You know, there's that saying, you can't train an old dog new tricks. It's not true. You can be an old dog and you can learn new things. I want to tell you that today. That is possible. God made it possible with these things that we have in our heads called our brains. Amen? Science proves this too. This study called neurology, that there were actually grooves. And I've taught about this before. There are grooves, there are pathways, neural pathways, that your thoughts constantly run along. All those thoughts that you constantly think are running around these grooves and these pathways. Neurologists, and those could be your old thoughts, but neurologists also say that you can create new pathways. If you constantly, habitually think in a better way with new thoughts, and those old thoughts that you never knew, you know what happens to them? They disintegrate and they die away. This is called neurology. Neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity on your screen is your brain's lifelong ability to reorganize itself by forming, strengthening, or pruning new neural connections, thereby enabling you to break old behavior patterns and build new thought patterns. Wow. Listen, you have the power. We have the power literally to actually shape our brain's health and function. So when you say you can't change, it's not true. You can change. You can redirect your thoughts. You can flip the script from negative to positive. You can think new thoughts. You can develop new pathways that help you to have a positive attitudes towards life. There are two mindsets. This year, there are two mindsets, two different focuses that people can have. You can either have a fear mindset, or you can tend to have a faith mindset. Mindset or focus. And we see that specifically, particularly in the Bible, in the book of Numbers chapter 13. Do you remember Numbers chapter 13? The people of God have been displaced. They've come out of Egypt. They've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. Finally, they get to that point. They're right on the edge of the promised land. So God tells Moses, I want you to spy out the land and tell the people what's actually in there. So Moses says, choose one leader from among you. We're going to have 12 spies, one from each tribe. Now, these are not just spies. These were elite leaders from every tribe, leaders with supposed to be brave and faith and have courage. 12 spies sent into the promised land for 40 days. They came back after 40 days with two different reports. 10 spies came back, and you know what they saw? They saw the giants. They saw the obstacles, they saw the walls, they saw the difficulties. 2 spies saw God's goodness. Think about it. Same land, same enemies, same obstacles, but 2 different focus. 10 with a negative focus never entered the promised land. They died in the desert. The 2 with a positive focus inherited the promised land for themselves, for their children. Their children, they built a future in this incredible land. They lived in, they experienced the goodness of God because they had a positive image of themselves. They focused on the positive. Amen? The letter A. A equals affirm yourself. See, affirm yourself. Affirm yourself. Psalm 103, verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Who said that? It was David. David was a psalmist. Now, in this verse, and these words, question, who's David talking to? Is he talking to God? No. Is he talking to us? No. Who's he talking to? He's talking to himself. David is talking to himself. We know David. You study his life. Incredible man. He was a worshiper. One thing, David was an incredible worshiper, and he was also a warrior. The two go hand in hand. The greatest worshipers tend to be the greatest warriors, right, in the Lord. So here's David. He's a worshiper and a warrior, but he knew that the greatest battle that he would have to face was within himself. So what did he do? He commanded himself. He influenced himself. He affected who he was, his soul. By his words, he talked to himself. Everybody talks to themselves. Everybody does it. Do you talk to yourself? Yeah, my wife's knocking on the bathroom door. I'm taking a shower. She says, are you talking to yourself? Yeah, I'm talking to myself. Everybody talks to themselves. But here, listen, most of that talk is negative self-talk, isn't it? Come on. Because in our nature, in our human nature, we have this inner critic that feeds our doubts and our fears. And we're listening to ourselves all day long, right? Listen, this is so true. The loudest voice in your life is usually your own. But here's the problem with that. So the result is your life and your future will follow your self-talk. So true, isn't it? We need to stop agreeing with our doubts and our fears and start agreeing with God. Come on, it's true. We need to say to ourselves, I'm going to affirm myself. I won't get stuck in this talk, this negative talk that's defeating me. I'm going to affirm myself. So I declare that no weapon forged against me is going to prosper, and I will refute every tongue that comes against me, and that I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Amen? And if God is for me, who can be against me? Let's affirm ourselves. Joel chapter 3, verse 10 says, let the weak say what? Let the weak stay. Let the weak speak out. I am strong. There's a song. Let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. For because of what the Lord has done through Jesus Christ, his son. Amen. The Message version, that verse says, let the weak throw out his chest and say, I'm tough. I'm a fighter. Amen? We sang that song. Come on, my soul. Lift up your voice because you've got to lift up your song because you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. That's self-talk. That's encouraging yourself. You know, in the Bible, speaking to yourself, preaching to your soul is a powerful tool. It's a powerful practice where you and I intentionally command our emotions and our thoughts to come in with into line with God's truth. This is Bible teaching. This is right out of the Word of God, isn't it? And this is where we're told as believers to overcome our doubts and fears and negativity by speaking to ourselves, affirming ourselves, what God says about us. Amen? And David did it all the time. For example, Psalm 42, verse 5. Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and our God. No, we need to stop this constant negative self-talk. Yeah, but I'm just trying to be honest about myself. You know, I think it's okay to be honest about yourself, about where you are, as long as you don't stay there. Amen? You don't get stuck there because that's not where you want to be. That's not where God wants you to be. Not where you want to live from. There are two truths about life. And I've taught this before. This is something we've got to understand and know and agree with. Two truths about life. Number one, that God is good. Is that truth? Here's another truth. Life is also hard. God is good, truth. Life is hard, truth. Both truths, both coexist at the same time, side by side in our life. It's called theodicy. Theodicy on your screen. Theodicy is a study of how God's goodness exists alongside the pain and injustice and the hardships of life. Theology addresses the strong theological question on your screen. The theological truth, and that truth is this. Waiting for it. The truth is this, that God is good and life is hard. Both are realities. Both are front and center of our life every single day. And the fact that God is good doesn't cancel out the fact that life is hard. And the fact that life is hard does not cancel out the fact that God is good. Amen? And I think people in the Bible, they seem to understand that. A lot of people understand that. You know, I think there's nothing wrong. I think there's nothing wrong to say that life is hard. Oh, don't say anything negative. You know, there are people that actually think that if you say anything that tends towards the negative, that there's a curse that'll come upon you, that it'll happen. There's so much baloney out there that people are believing. You know, it's okay to say that life is hard. Amen? It's okay to say as long as you don't get stuck in that mindset, forgetting that God is good. Does that make sense? The question is, which one are you going to focus on? Which one is actually going to help you or hinder your faith from moving forward? Like I said, a lot of people in the Bible understood the theodicy of life. And I think a great example is Joseph. One of the greatest stories in the Bible, 13 chapters, is the life of Joseph. Incredible story. When you think about it, Joseph, he had good things happening in his life. He had all these dreams about what was going to happen to him, how great he was going to be, great life was going to be. But before he knows it, he's beat up. He's betrayed by his brothers. He's sold. He's put into prison. For 13 years, he's languishing in a prison. I believe when Joseph was languishing in that prison, you know what he was thinking? Damn, life is hard. Life is hard. I don't think he was sitting there saying, oh God, this is so good. No, you would think he was crazy. No. Listen, sometimes life is hard, but listen, he didn't stay there. And he focused more on the fact, you know, but despite the fact that life is hard, God is good. God is good. And because he focused on the goodness of God, God made all his dreams come true. Amen? God blessed him because he believed that God is good. Focus on the positive. Affirm yourself. Imagine God doing something good. Imagine God doing something good. Abraham is called our father of faith. In the ancient East, one of the greatest signs of God's goodness upon your life was having kids. Now, Abraham, which means father. Abraham was fatherless, but he was not faithless. But God had to do something to Abraham. He had to get his imagination going, activate it, encourage it, stir it up. So one night, he said to Abraham, let's go for a walk. And in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, it says, then he brought him outside and said, Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. So he showed Abraham his incredible, blessed, prosperous future, that it was directly related to the number of kids he was going to have. And God told him, you're not just going to have a few kids. Your children will be mighty in number, powerful, great people. And again, a second time, when Abraham was in the land of Judea, he showed him the sand. He says, Abraham, do you see the sand? Can you count the number of grains? This is how many descendants are you going to have. Nations will literally come from within you. See, God had to help Abraham to imagine his future, that God was going to do something so good and so great for him and through him. And now Abraham could have easily said, but God, just look at the circumstances that are against us. Look at it. And I'm old, God. I'm not just old. I'm too old. And look at Sarah. She's barren. You know what God said? Trust me. Trust me. I am going to bless you. The stars and the sand were no exaggeration. Faith is something, this is true, faith is something you've got to see. Faith is something that you need to imagine before it actually happens. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. Imagination is the power at work within us to surpass human boundaries. You cannot feed your faith if you're imagining the worst. If you imagine yourself as a victim of your circumstances, then you will be a victim. If you imagine yourself as an overcomer, victorious, then you can be overcome and victorious. We need to imagine God at work in our lives, blessing us, healing us, favoring us. Imagine God doing something good for you. Amen? T stands for trust God in everything. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is what we based our life, our marriage on. This is a tremendous scripture. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. If you're going through a tough time today, this word is for you. If you're going through a valley of decision, I want to tell you, trust in God. Trust in God will always straighten things up, out. Amen? That verse says, trust with all your heart. Then the next verse says, lean not to your own understanding. What is your own understanding? You know what it is? Your rational mind. Don't lean on your rational mind. Here's a good example. I think giving and tithing is a good example. Giving and tithing, giving of your tithes and your offerings doesn't seem to make sense in the natural, does it? Not to the rational mind. I believe that one of the biggest areas of trust is in the giving of our tithes and offerings. Because giving and expecting blessing doesn't make sense in the natural. But in God's economy, it does. Because when in the natural, if you give something away, what are you going to have? Less. But in God's economy, when you give to him, you end up getting it all back and even more. Do you remember that verse in Luke's Gospel chapter 6 where Jesus says, give and it shall be given to you? Give and it shall be given to you. And then the next verse says, and a good measure. What is a good measure? And Jesus said, a good measure is this. When you give, it shall be given to you in a good measure. It's pressed down. It's shaken together. And it's poured, and it's literally running over, and it's poured into your lap. That's the way that God says that he can give back to you when we give. So when you think about giving, it's really not about the tithe. It's really about trusting God, isn't it? Last one, H. H stands for hope. Hope for the best. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. The biblical definition of hope on your screen is this. It's very simple. The expectation of something good happening to you. It's the expectation of good. A secular definition of hope is this. An optimistic state of mind, wishing that a positive outcome may occur. See, it's related to wishful thinking, but hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is the expectation based on the goodness of God. Amen? On the promises of God. Here's this one. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope, a future, and a hope. So there's a promise that comes right out of the mouth of God. And what did Jesus say? Matthew's Gospel 4. He says, man does not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. You may not trust anybody, what anybody else says, but you can trust what God says. I want to encourage you. I want you just to encourage yourself with words like this from the Word of God. See, on your screen, hope begins when we stop wondering, when we stop questioning, when we start doubting, and we start watching, and we start expecting God's goodness in our lives. Expect the best. Life is so much better when we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, life is hard, but God is good. But here's the thing. He's not just good. He's way, way gooder than life is hard. So I'm going to challenge you. Here's the challenge. Take this acronym, memorize it, put it into practice. F, focus on the positive. Affirm yourself. Imagine God doing something good. Trust God in everything. Hope for the best. Amen? Let's be champions of faith. Let's be people of faith. Let's overcome every challenge that comes against us right now or in the future. Let's overcome our marriage challenges. Let's overcome our career challenges or job challenges. Let's overcome our financial challenges and issues. Let's be people of faith. Let's face all our challenges with faith and move forward. Amen? God is about to do something good for you. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Thank you, Father. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever put their faith in him would not perish, but have eternal life. The Bible tells us clearly that Christ died for sinners. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all messed up. But here's the thing, that the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. It's death. But here's the good news. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The question is, have you received this most precious gift ever given? Are your sins forgiven? Do you have a relationship with God? God did it all for you when he sent his Son. He gave his all for you. And all you have to do is to believe in Jesus, what he did for you on the cross, and then just invite him into your heart to be Lord and Savior of your life and to save your soul, to give you a brand new start, a new life, a new relationship with God Almighty through his Son, Jesus Christ, and a brand new start here on earth. A divine sense of purpose, and a final destination to be with God forever. If you're here and you've never made that decision to invite Christ into your heart, this is your time, this is your chance, this is your moment. So if that's you, I'm going to give you this time, this chance, just by saying this very simple prayer. So if that's you, you need to invite Christ into your heart. Will you say these words after me? Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you died on the cross, shed your blood to pay for the sins of mankind, but not just for the many, also my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for the forgiveness of all my sins. And today, right now, Lord, I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. And thank you for giving me a brand new start. Help me to live this life that you designed for me. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen and amen. Will you just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just another minute? I want to ask, if you're here, you said that for the very first time, you made the greatest life-changing decision ever. If you said that, I want you to raise your hand, look at me, and just wave your hand. Anyone receive Christ, just raise your hand, wave it high. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. If you're watching online, you said that prayer, will you touch that hand near the bottom of the screen? I want to show you what your next step of faith would be. If you said that, you're sitting here, I want you to go back to the Connections kiosk desk, and we want to tell you your next step in your great journey of faith with Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. God is